Well, we're in Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 2. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're not going to preach specifically on the battle or the walls only. I got a little something different I'd like to bring out. The title of my message this morning is Don't Forget Rahab. And we want to hopefully see some important things in here concerning the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand the Old Testament view of God many times is hard and harsh. His holiness is misunderstood sometimes. But He is a God of love, and He's not only a God of love in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead when they lied to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
At the beginning of the first church, people were donating money to the church, and they lied about property they sold. And they lied about how much they sold it for, trying to impress, I guess, people. And they lied, and God killed them.
That's right.
That's New Testament. So His holiness is still something we ought to fear and awe and respect. But I'm glad that I am under the covenant of grace. But grace is not foreign in the Old Testament.
You're right.
And so I hope we can look at something here. Struggle with my points. It will not be beautiful alliteration today. In fact, every point pretty much says, don't forget Rahab, and then I'll expound a little bit on it. But we'll get started. You do know the story. You probably taught your kids. This is a segue. This is a point. Kids are growing up today without Sunday school. They know very little Bible stories.
You're right.
If you don't teach them at home, and if you don't go to Sunday school, then you should have to teach them at home. You better start teaching them, because they don't know a lot about the scriptures. That fundamentally, some kids that grew up in Sunday school years ago know more than some of these modern day adults know. They don't know. And of course, if you don't know, you haven't been saved, haven't been in church, obviously, you wouldn't know some of those things. But I am amazed that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they start growing. They get on an accelerated program when they get saved, and they start learning about the things of God. And they pass some of those old saints that's been saved 50 years because they wanted to know what the Bible taught. And I hope we could all have that same passion. But I don't want to assume you know about the walls of Jericho. But this is that story, that context of that story. They're going to march around the walls of Jericho those seven times. And that seventh day, they go around that seven times. They sound the trumpets, and the wall is going to fall. But this is before that, where we meet Rahab. Joshua, the son of Nun, chapter 2, verse 1, sent out of Shittim, or Shittim, two men to spy secretly. So two spies are sent out to go look into the land. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. As a harlot, she is one who sold her body in a sexual manner, whether she was enslaved by some taskmaster over her or she did it on her own financial benefit. She was still under the taskmaster of Satan and sin.
That's right.
And the Bible says that was her title. And they lodged there. And in verse 2, it was told the king of Jericho, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men, hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting out of the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not, which means I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for he shall overtake them. They went that away, kind of what happened, and they all took off after him. She had brought them up into the roof of the house, verse 6, hid them with the stalks of flax. They had flat roofs back then, most of them, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And that was quite a while before this story. When you came out of Egypt, we heard that. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye shall save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. They knew this was a battle. This would be a war. Israel was coming to destroy and take this land. And the men answered, verse 14, answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that He will deal, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, let the pursuers meet you, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves through the day, 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of thine oath, this thine oath which thou hast made and swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren unto all the father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And he will be, we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. So this is a long passage of scripture to read, but to get you the idea, is that she made a deal with them, and they made a deal with her, that she shown kindness to them and hid their work, what their business was, to protect them. And when they come back to attack this city, they will remember Rahab. So the title of my message is Don't Forget Rahab. I want you to look in this, all of this scripture concerning this. We have the testimony of God's power had spread all the way to this land. They even knew when Egypt had faced God in the Red Sea experience several years before. They knew about that. That was old news, and this was getting ready to be new news. And they had heard about it. And the Bible teaches us that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I see God working in Rahab's life even at this point. She had heard some things about what had happened. In Joshua 2:10, she said, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For us average independent Baptists, now just use that as a phraseology, okay? For us average ones who are here today, this is a boring story to you. You've heard the Red Sea dried up, all that. You've heard it 100,000 times. Some of you probably have probably heard it that many times. And you just like, yeah, same old stuff. Preacher's going to preach at us a little bit. But she heard that the Red Sea dried up, and she had more faith to believe the testimony of God than more modern day contemporary preachers in 2022. And she was a harlot. She was a liar, a traitor to her country, you could technically say. But yet she knew something was different about their God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When I heard the testimony of God and saw the testimony of God, but listen, I actually heard the testimony of God. I heard about who He was and what He could do before I ever saw much of what He did. Amen. And then I saw God do it in my mama's life. And then I said, I think I need something like that in my life. Don't forget Rahab when you consider the testimony of God's power. Don't forget Rahab when you consider the what we would call words of our religion or our faith. One of them is the word faith. Notice in Joshua 2:9, she said unto these men, remember these are spies that snuck into the country. They thought it'd be a good plan to go to a harlot's house because to make it understandable enough, a lot of men coming and going in there. And they went in there and hid themselves and began to reveal what was going on. They almost got caught. She hid them. And she says to them later, after she tells these soldiers of the king, they went that way. Go that way. You can find them over there. She said, I know some things. I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know you're coming here to take my country and there's not one thing we can do about it. I know that God has given you the land. Man, she had more faith than the average Israelite that was waiting on the report of the spies. But she wasn't truly trusting yet. She had a lot of good things going on in her life that would be a great challenge to us. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They were scared. Israel's coming. Now we don't seem to be afraid of those kind of things much anymore. And I know it wasn't what most of us that was Israel was coming, but it was the God of Israel was coming. And He would continue to do stupid, foolish things in the eyes of the world to knock the walls down. Can you imagine them marching around the walls? They had to be quiet the whole first day. Couldn't say a word. Marched around, had the Ark of the Covenant. And they said, all right, get ready. We're going to throw arrows and we're going. Where are they going? They went back to camp. Come back the second day, do it again. I'm going to shoot them. What are they doing? Nothing. They didn't even say a word. They did that for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they walked around the whole complete cycle. And they sound the trumpet and the walls fall down flat. So she had heard about the Red Sea and had faith to believe in that testimony of God. And she said, I know the Lord has given you the lands. I wonder if Joshua the son of Nun, when he sent out those two spies, I wonder if she had a little more faith about what they were doing than they did. I've been around some people like that. Had more faith about what was going on than I did. Don't forget about Rahab when you look at the testimony of God. Don't forget about her when you think about what the true meaning of faith is. Don't forget about Rahab when you think about fear and awe and respect. Joshua 2:11, she said, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage. The people had lost their courage. The generals couldn't get them stirred up, really. I mean, they were on protection mode and they knew that they were in between what was getting ready to happen. He said, because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Wow. Amen. Rahab, she's getting at it here, isn't she? Yeah. Rahab doing some preaching almost. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Just on the general things of God. What did God wake us up? I want people to be saved. I really do.
Amen.
But years ago, people had more belief and reverence of the testimony of God and the faith of God and the fear and awe of God, even without being born again believers, they were in better shape than the average Christian today.
That's right.
Yes. And Rahab would make a really good church member today.
Yes, sir.
Better than most of us.
Right.
And she's a harlot. She's in the act of treason, traitor to her country, and lied to cover it up. Pretty crazy story here. Don't forget Rahab when you think about the thoughts of salvation and deliverance. In Joshua 2:13, she said that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, all that they have, all my family, deliver our lives from death. That's what salvation means, is deliverance.
That's right.
And not just in the physical realm, but and we talk about spiritually applying these things to us, salvation is being delivered in the spiritual realm. When I got saved, God delivered me from the condemnation of my sins,
yes,
and I am no longer, therefore now, no, there's no, not any condemnation placed upon me. She said, I know that your God has this salvation and deliverance. And you can say my mama, my daddy, and my sisters, and my brothers, and all my kin, all my family. Some household salvation there. There's a lot of stuff in here. I mean, you got conviction, confession, you got the word of God, the grace of God, all this stuff's in here. Look at verse 14. Here's the thought of grace. The men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. We're going to show you kindness. That's what grace is. God likes to send grace on people like Rahab. Harlots. So you get to understand that when you think about this, she's lying to cover up their business. And lying is one of the most basic sins you can do. You don't have to teach anybody how to lie. Wait till your kids get old enough. Did you do that? Nope. I wrote on the wall with a crayon, my mama said one time, and I blamed it on the dog. I said, the dog did it. Now that was not only stupid, unless I had a really smart dog, but we didn't have a dog at that time. I don't even know why I fabricated such a lie. If we didn't even have a dog, I could have been a little bit better at my lie. I wasn't even good at it. But you don't have to teach children. Lying is just one of the basis of all types of sins. And then she's also a harlot, which is one of the most debased types of sins. A degraded place in your life where you sell your body. Whether I said before, whether she did it because she was owned by somebody or she did it willingly to make what she thought was a living. And she also was a traitor to her own country. And it's amazing to think that that's who she was when you describe her, a dishonorable person. And God majors in sending grace to people like Rahab and people like me. And hopefully you would agree, people like yourself. Dealt kindly with me when I could have just been said, you're a liar. I can't trust you. You're a liar. We don't send no grace to liars. No promises to you, Rahab. I want you to deal kindly with me. No, you're a harlot. I mean, you're in this corrupt, debased, debauchery of lifestyle. No grace comes to people like you, you Gentile dog. You're a traitor to your own country. How can we trust any allegiance, any covenant, any agreement? Boy, I'm glad when sin did abound, grace does much more abound. So don't forget Rahab when you think about grace. Joshua 2:18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. So in verse 19, it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. He will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. So you got to be connected, and you got to be in this room where this scarlet, which is to me a picture of the blood, this blood-colored thread cord going out the window, you got to be connected to that. Don't forget Rahab when you think about the blood. Amen? Because in verse 21, he said, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. I don't understand the blood or a scarlet covered cord thread hanging out the window that these two spies climbed down and all of a sudden they turned around and said, you know what? This is going to be where it's all at. Yep. All is going to be bound in the blood.
Yes, sir.
And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, I had a lifeline, amen, that was displayed to me one time. A scarlet line of thread of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was offered to me one day, and the Bible says here, she gave that to them to go down, and they presented it back to her as that covenant, that bond. this scarlet thread. And I reached out to that one day. Amen. For I found it placed in the window of faith. And somebody preached the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. And to the world, it might not make a lot of sense. It might look like a decoration. It may look like an oversight. It may look like somebody forgot to leave that, should have pulled that thing back up in there. I don't know what it means to the world, but I know what it means to Rahab and me.
Amen.
Amen. It is what all deliverance and salvation was bound up in, the blood, an act of faith in the blood. She had to trust in that, and that became that great symbol. Don't forget Rahab when you think about the blood. All the promises made by godly people, such as these men, are no good if the God of those people can't back those promises up.
That's right.
And so we're going to come into this city and we're going to deliver you. And when we come into the city and we see that red cord, we're not going to forget Rahab. So the story goes all the way to chapter 6. For those of you that did not fall off the wagon and you're not asleep, in Joshua chapter number 6, as I've alluded to already, Joshua tells the priests, they're going to blow the trumpets. Came to pass, verse 16, at the seventh time, they made that lap around when the priests blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. So wait a minute. Did you forget about Rahab? Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live. She and all that are with her in the house. Because she hid the messengers that we sent. All those promises. And he said, only Rahab. He didn't forget her. He could have got caught all up in the campaign. And you blow the trumpet, the walls are going to fall down and all that's going on. And I want you to understand, let me see if I can find this. I'm going to find it. I might have over jumped myself here. I probably did, but it's okay. It's my outline that I have trashed, so not yours. Amen. I'm trying to find the verse. I did write it down. I don't know if you remember this. I'll find it later when I rehash this and say, boy, that would have been a good message if I had preached it like I thought I was going to preach it. The Bible says that her house was on the wall.
Yeah, that's right.
She lived on the wall. Two emphases of where she was. And it's the most iconic part of the story of what fell down flat. So in my understanding, the Scripture says, so the people shouted, verse 20, chapter 6, the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young, old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. Verse 22, but Joshua, he didn't forget Rahab, had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, that knew about that red scarlet line hanging in the window, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she have, and ye, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father, her mother, her brethren, all that she had, and they brought her all kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. That's a miracle that we just might have overlooked.
That's right.
That apparently, that's the only place on that whole wall that was still standing. Amen. This world may huff and pluck. It's going to fall all to pieces. It's very evident around us right now the way this world's going. But I promise you, if you are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the walls can fall flat down around you, but you and I will still be standing. Still be standing. Over 1,400 years after this story in the New Testament, they didn't forget Rahab. James 2:23. Bear with me. Man, I'm doing pretty good. It's 10 till 12. Well, I feel like I got overtime innings and everything left. I said, preacher, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. Y'all know who Abraham is, right?
Amen.
Okay. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. James 2:24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. By faith, the Bible said, Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. See, she had a faith that was not dead. Faith without works is dead, being alone. My faith's not alone. It is pointed in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust my faith is towards the blood that He shed for you and for me. Matthew 1, first book of the New Testament. First chapter of the New Testament. The lineage of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew 1, 5. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. Not forgotten. A harlot is in the lineage of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. Abraham was a patriarch, father of the Jews. And we all could accept him in without hardly any trouble, wouldn't we? Well, Rahab, she was a harlot. But she ended up being the great-great-grandmother of King David. And if you'll read that lineage in chapter 1, which I almost want to do, but it's a long one, you'll wind up pointing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Matthew portrays Him as King. Here, they are equal concerning being justified by working faith that trusts in a God that can work the impossible. He saved her on the wall, and that was truly amazing to me. But especially amazing to me is that He would give His own righteousness of His own Son to impute to a sinner such as you and I. That's amazing grace. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law was created to show how bad, how egregious, how awful and ugly sin is. Until you get a hold of that, you're going to walk on breathing in, chewing bubble gum, flirting around with this world, ignoring God, and go right off into hell until you realize how bad your sin is. That's why there is a law. There is a law to show that. But as the Bible says, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Jesus in Matthew 21, He tells those Pharisees around Him, He says, verily I say unto you, Matthew 21:31, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And there's going to be a harlot named Rahab that you're never going to be able to forget when you and I get to heaven. She's part of the Jewish lineage of the Savior, that family tree. Now, I don't know what's in your family tree. I got some outlaws and in-laws and some other things in mind, some bootleggers. If y'all don't know what that is, it's people that ran moonshine. My family tree is like a bramble bush. It's pretty messed up. But when you see that all that sin abounding, and you see in that family tree, back in 1978, God saved Nancy Ellison, who had been married 3 different times and found out the 4th child in our family that we didn't even know about. When my mama died, I found out I had another brother from another family member, father, never even married that man that we have never met. Many might call my mom a harlot. They'd call her a person who gave herself up many times. As a 16-year-old girl, she got pregnant, got married, and then that broke up. My grandma adopted my sister, put her in her family. I didn't find out all these family secrets till many years later. But on 1978, during that revival, Rahab got up and went to the altar.
Amen.
She had been reading prophecy books on Revelation. The preacher gladly gave her a tract. That was my tithe. I forgot to give my tithe. Gave her a tract. That's a tract. And she read that tract and she went to revival. And she heard the gospel. And she got up by faith and she reached out for that scarlet thread of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing by faith the testimony of God that God could save a sinner such as her. And when she got up, she was no longer guilty of any sin. She was cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changed my family tree.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jared doesn't look at Nancy that way. Because the grace of God changes everything.
Yes, sir.
All he pretty much knows about her is just that small window of time that she was here when he was older. But there was a lot of ugly, dark things in the past. But I'm glad God can sure cover up all that. As the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sin. So the publicans and the harlots, they go before those Pharisees in the kingdom of God. Because those self-righteous crowd who would never understand why a holy God, a gracious God, would accept such a person and the thought of a harlot into the kingdom of God. But it's not how He allows you to come in. It's His hope of knowing what you could be when you are saved by His grace.
Yes,
changes you. Changes your life. That's something we need desperately in our modern day of churches, where people to truly get born again and their life is transformed. Where the kids say, something's different about Mama. She's reading her Bible now.
Yes, sir.
Nancy Ellison. Listening to black gospel music. Teddy Huffam in the gym. Hallelujah, thank God for my black heritage. She'd sit there listening, reading her Bible, and get out her Bounty paper towels and cry. I didn't understand what happened to my mama. I'd never seen her cry unless it was because daddy had hit her or somebody, or daddy had screamed at her or threatened her, because that's how I grew up. But now she was crying and she said, I'm happy. I'm happy. These are tears of joy, overwhelmed by the grace of God that God didn't forget a Rahab such as her. She'd listen to that music. Them old 8-tracks, they are dear to my heart. Hear that old song, I was going down for the last time. No one heard my cry. My voice was swiftly fading. I was drifting with the tide. Then a hand from out of nowhere gently slipped into mine. And I thank God He found me. Just in time. And my mama would sing that. And my daddy would yell and cuss and get mad and then go out the back door. My mama got saved. And we had more church in that house than some churches have in their building. Oh, the place that grace can put you. I won't ever forget Rahab, because God surely did. Some of you need a reviving in your soul to be taken back to the Rahab that you were when God saved you. And instead of acting like that didn't happen, I'm not saying celebrate or glorify the past. Some of these kids need to know that God saved a wretch such as you. And that you weren't just born into this walk that you're living in. But God changed you by His power. And some of you have spoken to me in times, I know some of you are not sure that some of your kids are saved. Well, God loves them more than you do.
Yes, sir, that's
God wants to save them more than you do. God majors in Rahabs. But I tell you what, he also likes to change family trees so that there don't have to be so many Rahabs down the line.
Right.
He doesn't want all of them to be harlots. He likes some of them just be believers who will step out on faith and trust and have household salvations. Like that brother and sister Rahab and others, and how it changed Boaz's life, and he got to connect the dots and meet a beautiful lady named Rahab, who, by the way, was a Gentile that God put into the family tree as well. Boy, God sure messed up a lot of Pharisees' pipes when he put that in there and said, go smoke that, buddy. He messed it up. Sister Virginia, I'd like you to come play something for us. I don't know if you're saved. It takes the same grace of God to save a kid that's raised in church every moment of its life from the time before it's born as it does to save a harlot, a drug addict, a child molester. It takes the same grace to save that person as it does to save any of us. But instead of resisting and running from that grace, you ought to want to receive it and trust in Him as your Savior. And church, if you are saved this morning, I wonder, how long has it been since you thank God for not forgetting a Rahab like yourself? That God commended His love towards us. He commended it. For God sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave. Because I know my family tree, if it would have continued on the way that it did, Jerry and Nancy would have got what would have been her fourth divorce. And I would have grown up in a broken home. I'd have probably never heard the gospel. Possibly. And went on down the same life. The same course that I was headed. A life that found its thrill of getting drunk at the racetrack every weekend. That's where I was headed. But God, who is rich in mercy, and His great love, wherewith He loved us. That God hath quickened me and changed me and changed my life. Saved me. Can change any of us here if you really want a change in your life. But you got to get tired of your sin. And you got to get under conviction. And got a desire to repent and turn. For those of you that are saved, I hope God will speak to your heart this morning. You could just lift up your hands and give thanks for God saving an old sinner such as you. For forgiving you and loving you. Not forgetting. Because God sent His Son before you ever came into this world. And He knew what you and I would be. But He loved us anyway. Sure am glad that God didn't forget about me. How long has it been since you, as a saved person, has thanked God for saving your soul? Thank God for the grace that did make you whole. Thank Him for convicting you and speaking into your heart at that camp. On that night where God got a hold of your heart and you realized He was everything He said He was and you needed Him more than anything in this world. I'm glad God didn't forget Rahab. I'm glad God didn't forget me. Father, I pray You'll speak to the hearts of our people. Though there may be some here, Lord, that have never personally placed a saving faith in You. Some may have grown up in church, or Lord, they've just kind of come and gone. And Lord, I pray for Holy Ghost conviction that you deal with their heart. Lord, may you awake and resurrect within us as believers an appreciation and a gratitude and a love and a thanksgiving for the great grace and forgiveness that you have given to us. When you forgave all those sins and washed them away in your blood. Thank you, God, for cleansing us and making us whole. And thank you for all the promises that are bound in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.